The first reading today, we hear about the man who is without fault. And it's a fascinating way that it is presented to us. That is, that he turns not aside after gain or puts his trust in money or treasures and so on. But then when it asks the question, who is he that we may praise him? It says he has done wonders in his life. And then follows that by saying was tested by gold and come off safe. And so in other words, the wonders aren't necessarily doing miraculous things, extraordinary things, as we might naturally assume when someone is talking about doing wonders, but rather it may just be that people were awed by the way that this person lived his life. The wonders that he worked probably did work miracles because of what he was capable of doing, but nonetheless, that's not what it's saying to us. It's saying that what people were so astounded by is that he could have been caught up in riches. It was offered to him, and he turned it down. He could have been caught up in all kinds of selfish pursuits, but he rejected it. And if you look at your own self, you can ask yourself, how much of a wonder would it be if I did that? For most of us, that would be pretty miraculous, wouldn't it? We're offered all of this and we say, no, I've got a greater treasure. I've got an infinite treasure. I don't need all of these earthly things. But how easily most of us are turned aside, as it says that this man was not. How easily we find ourselves being pulled away from the Lord for our own selfish pursuits. And that's where we begin to recognize that when we see the saints working extraordinary signs and wonders, miracles, if you will, you have to recognize that there are extraordinary things that happened long before that. They're able to do those extraordinary things because of where their heart is focused. All you have to do is look at these people who are very, very wealthy businessmen, and you can say on the natural level, they do some pretty extraordinary things. They're able to make deals and wheel and deal and do all these things, and they make billions of dollars doing it. For what? What a waste. But they do extraordinary things, we could sure say that. And that's because their heart is focused either on the money or the business or the deal or whatever it is that their heart is focused on. Because that's where they're focused, that's where they're going to do extraordinary things, because that's what's most important to them. The saints, on the other hand, what was most important to them was the Lord. And because their heart was focused solely on the Lord, they were able to do extraordinary things. Because they weren't turned aside, because they weren't being selfish, because they weren't interested in all the worldly things. Now, the difficulty for most of us is if you're raising a family, obviously, you have to work, you have to have money, you have to have things to be able to have a place for your kids to sleep and to sit and to eat and all the different things. And so you can't quite live the poverty that some of the saints have lived. But we can still live simplicity. We can still live in such a way that our heart is focused on the Lord, that we're not turned aside toward things that are selfish. It's a question of the balance, and we have to look always, of course, at the state in life. For a saint who has made a vow of poverty and they live that, yeah, that's a great thing, and they can do that. Probably wouldn't be a prudent thing for a parent with small children to do that. Now, there are plenty of large families who are living in rather difficult situations financially, but they've chosen a far greater wealth because they have children. And even though they may not have a lot to be able to give to their children, they've given them something far, far greater. Siblings, and charity. How many of us look at it and say, oh, what I want is to be able to give my kids huge amount of money when I die, or I want to pay for their college education, so I have to have all this money put aside. Therefore, I can't have more kids because I wouldn't be able to afford them all. If you didn't want to give your kid $1 million at the end of your life, you'd probably be able to afford a whole lot of kids. So we can see where the heart is, because that shows us where our treasure is, what's really most important. Looking at your own state in life, what is God asking of you? What kind of wonder is he looking for? That's an important question for all of us. Yes, we can look at some of these extraordinary saints, but if God isn't asking you to live a life of poverty, chastity, and obedience like some of the saints have, then you can't compare yourself entirely to them. It's a false comparison. But he is asking you to live according to those evangelical counsels, regardless of your state in life. It's just a matter of adjusting them to the state in life so that you're living according to what God wants you to live. If you're going to live according to the way God wants you to live, you're going to be different from the rest of the people around you. People are going to wonder about you. And so you can do wonders and make the people wonder. They're wondering in a different way. They're wondering why you do what you do. They're wondering why you're so weird, why you're not so interested in all the stuff that they're interested in, why what's most important to you is something entirely different from what's important to them. They won't understand because they can't. And yet they will recognize the difference. And they will wonder in both sense of that word. They will wonder because they'll think you're strange. More importantly, they will wonder because they will be in awe when they see the way that you're living your life and they don't understand it. But that can only happen if we're truly living our lives in the Lord. So that's what God's looking for from us. Not necessarily to be working miracles and doing extraordinary things along those lines, but rather to be the miracle, to be the sign, to be the one who has that interior change of heart so that our focus is truly on the Lord. Then in all of the other things that we do, we're not going to be led astray. We're not going to be pulled aside. We're going to be tempted. You know that's coming. It is in everybody's life, tempted in different ways. You may not care about gold or whatever, but what do you care about? Do you care about whatever, what people think about you? Do you care about, you know your weaknesses. Fill in the blank, put the weakness in there and just say, that's what I'm going to be tempted with. Am I going to be turned aside? Am I going to be pulled that way and away from the Lord? Are my weaknesses more important to me than God? Those are the things that we can look at. And if we can put our focus where it belongs, then the greatest miracle is the one that's going to take place inside of us. Because all these things that pulled us aside are no longer going to be an issue, because we're going to be single-heartedly focused on the Lord. Then we can do what we need to do, and we're not going to worry about anything else. So seek first the Lord, his way of righteousness. He'll handle everything else if we trust him. Doesn't mean he's going to make it easy. How else are you going to grow in holiness? The temptations have to be there. So some of those temptations will be to be tempted not to trust him, not to believe, to doubt, to question, to wonder. He doesn't want us to be questioning and wondering about him. He wants us to be the wonder. He wants to do extraordinary things in us and through us. But that can only happen if we're willing to allow it, and if our heart is focused where it needs to be first, so that when that's the case, we will do extraordinary things, or God will do extraordinary things through us, because our heart is focused where it belongs.